broadcasting live from the Georgia Technology Summit 2024 at the Signia Hotel in Atlanta. This is Business Radio X. And now, here's your host.
Well, we are broadcasting live. We're nowhere near the studio. Sharon Klein and Stone Payton here with you. We got out of our hole there in Woodstock, Georgia, and came down to the Signia Hotel. We are broadcasting live from Georgia Technology Summit 2024, and it's just buzzing with activity. We're catching up with some old friends, making some new ones. Please join me in welcoming back to the Business Radio X microphone with Risk 360.
That's right.
All right, Mr. Christian Hyatt, good to see you, man.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. I know you didn't just come for me. So what were you hoping to accomplish by being here, man?
Yeah, so our company was top 10 of the innovative companies. So we're here to receive an award, and I have to get on that huge stage out there for
Sweet.
5 minutes. And,
All right, we're shutting the production down. When they hand that out, we're going to be like entourage.
Yeah, you can start a wave in the crowd or something.
I love top 10. Congratulations,
man. Thank
you
very much. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is cool. All right, so tell us a little bit about this organization. What are you out there trying to do for folks?
Yeah, so Risk 360, people might not be aware, but cybercrime is a $12 trillion industry. If it was an economy, it'd be the third largest economy after the U.S. and China. So one of the things that's happened is companies have a huge amount of regulation and compliance because of the cybersecurity threat. And that's what our company does. We help companies navigate the regulations and the compliance and take what is typically a multi-million dollar endeavor for a very large company, try to cut that in half through software, through people, save them a lot of money, help them build a great program. And that's really our mission.
Christian, you're scaring me because no, it's that important, right? And I guess when I hear words like cybersecurity, I think of the bank, or occasionally I'll get a note that says, hey, we had to, or I'll get something in the mail. We had to notify you there's some breach in some other system. On the day-to-day basis, it feels like, oh, that's a big company problem.
Yeah.
But it's not just a great big huge company problem, is it?
Like it's a very individual problem. Like everyone's already aware of the things like social media, like your information's out there, your emails, your personal information, and that is getting breached. You see that in a headline that goes to the dark web. So it has a very real personal implication for each of us. But what a lot of people don't know is it has a huge business implication because all of our businesses rely on other businesses to do business. Mm-hmm. So we're outsourcing our HR, we're outsourcing our accounting system, so on and so forth. And it's our third parties that are getting breached that are impacting our companies. So there's a really important trust relationship between the company and the third party. And the way the industry is solving that is through these security certifications, through the compliance exercises that I mentioned. And we're trying to help those companies build that trust so that they know that they're doing right by each other.
I would think that would be incredibly important now and will only continue to get more and more important when I'm trying to sell a B2B service or really nail down a long strategic partnership,
Absolutely.
An enduring strategic partnership. I got to have this in my back. If I don't, it's going to be like the Carfax when you're buying a car. You can't show me the Carfax. I'm not interested, right?
That's just like how it is. So like I make the joke, and I don't mean this, but I say, hey, no one does cybersecurity because they're good folks. They're not just building a cybersecurity program, although some do. The reason they're doing it is because there's a multi-million dollar contract on the line. You know, they can't do business with this really big business unless they have these certifications because it's required in contract. So by the time a company is calling us, they either have a whole slew of compliance requirements or a new compliance requirement they're trying to navigate. And we try to make that easy for them and kind of remove the hidden tax of this whole ecosystem that exists.
So are you working then with relatively small, mid-sized companies, not necessarily the great, big, huge ones? Is there a place in your world for or do you refer them out to a different type of?
We do work with some smaller companies. Most of the companies that we work with are companies you've never heard with. They're B2B technology companies that don't necessarily serve consumers, but they're typically pretty large. Our target market is the enterprise because they have very complex, important issues. But you're seeing more and more. Like startups are seeing this because you're a startup tech company. You want to do business with this big company and suddenly they're throwing these regulations at you.
Right, right.
So it's really interesting how small the companies that are impacted. We work with a couple of companies that are 2-3 people. And just to do their first ever contract, they have to do this stuff. Mostly we work with the big enterprises, though.
All right. So your personal role in all of this, are you out? Are you like on the sales and marketing side of most of this? Or are you in the back room eating Cheetos and writing code?
No, I'm the founder and CEO.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I started this company about 8 years ago. My role today is really just leading through people. So although we're a technology organization, we're a people organization. So almost all of day, I'm thinking about how to get the best people in the door, how to motivate people, how to lead through others. And we just try to build what we call craftsmen, people who are excellent at their job. They can go off and serve customers really, really well, build great technology and solve hard problems. So my number one job really is just to harness the energy of our team to go serve those clients and do important things.
I say, I'm so biased, Sharon. He's just too young and too handsome to be running an organization like this. So I just figured he was like the hotshot sales guy, right?
I do sales out of necessity, I guess, but mostly it's just telling people the good word, you know?
Oh, but no, this is great. This is very fortuitous because I got a ton that I want to learn from you. And one is creating a culture like the one that you've described. I guess you've had to get good at recruiting, developing, just going and getting them, but then keeping them. Any counsel you have to offer any of us on that front, man?
That's where I spend most of my time thinking. I'll tell you, one of the things that had a huge influence on me is probably one of the most famous business authors ever, Jim Collins, who wrote Good to Great.
Yeah, yeah.
But he wrote a lesser known book that's a 46-page book called Turning the Flywheel. And if you think about a flywheel, it's really hard to get momentum at first. You're trying to pull this flywheel. But over time, if you focus your energy, you get momentum. So we built our flywheel as a business all around people. So it's hiring strange renegades, hiring the best people, developing craftsmen. So, you know, paying for their certifications, training programs. And then we try to let those craftsmen build artisan products, which is our great software, all of our services. Then we build an inimitable brand based on those great projects. I mean, just like people, when people love your products, your brand gets better. And if you have a great brand, well, you can recruit more great people. So it's a very people-centric business model. So whenever we make investment decisions as an organization, if it's not one of those core elements of the flywheel, we have to rethink why we're doing that thing. So it just helps me maintain a lot of focus and discipline on what I'm trying to focus on as a CEO.
I just want to read your book. Whenever you write it, if you haven't yet, and
I do have a book coming out in May. It's called Security Team Operating System.
Oh, sweet!
It takes all the lessons that I've learned as a CEO of a security company, and reapplies them for security leaders in their context.
Oh, I can't wait! And when you do, you come join us in one of the studios, or if we have to, we'll do a virtual interview.
We'll
get the word out about that. So, what are you hoping to accomplish this week? Being down here, what's a win for you being here?
Gratitude. Like I was born, raised here in Atlanta. Educated at University of Georgia, did my MBA at Georgia Tech. So the Georgia Technology Summit for me is just an opportunity to like be with other tech leaders and appreciate that moment and getting a little bit of recognition, which is really nice and unexpected. So, I mean, I think just gratitude is what we're here for today.
Oh, man. Well, I'm certainly filled with gratitude. It's really been a delight having you on the program, man. I'm a little longer in the tooth than you are. And it sounds like maybe not quite as accomplished, but just hanging out with you is fun.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yes. Well, congratulations on the momentum. Congratulations on the honors that are well deserved. Keep us posted. Let us know what's happening in your world. I'm quite sincere. I really would like to catch up with you when you get ready to release that book.
I would love to.
And I definitely will be reading. Well, thank you for joining us, man.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be here.
All right. We'll be back in a few from Georgia Technology Summit 2024.